Let's begin. We're on page Resh Mem Zayin. We just began to learn laws of mezuzah. Let's, in fact, review Halacha Dalet. Okay, page Resh Mem Zayin. It's a Simon Resh Pehei. And we already did, but I want to review it again. Halacha Dalet, Yesham, some say, Kisha Adam. When you leave the home, you should put your hand on the mezuzah. The Yemen, you should say, Hashem, Yishmor, say, see, Uva'i, that's the proper thing to do. You put your mezuzah and you say, may Hashem guard my exit and my entrance. I'll tell you a drush right away. I once wanted to say, I get sidetracked too easily, but I once wanted to say, why do you have two parashiyos, Shema and Vihaya im Shemaya? So I wanted to suggest once is that Shema is when you come inside, and Vihaya im Shemaya is when you go outside. When you're coming inside, It's private. Everything is blushing yachid. Hashem elokin v'yohavta yushal of eitz Hashem elokecha b'cholavav v'cholnashcha. Everything is blushing yachid. It's a private home. It's privacy. So the reason why Hashem demanded there should be two parashios is Shema is for coming into your home. When you leave your home, you're also passing the mezuzah. I know it's on the wrong side. When you're leaving your home, it's on the left. But it's still, you got to only put it in one place. The parsha of the Hayoim Shomaya B'loshen Rabin is when you leave, because then you're going out into the world. It's B'loshen Rabin. And you have to be a participant with everyone else in this world, and you have to cause other people that they also should love Hashem. So therefore, that's why we have the parsha of the Hayoim Shomaya. I'm sure if we delve more into the exact details of the two parshas, we can somehow manipulate it, right?
Yeah.
Drush, you can always manipulate. We somehow find some ideas to show Shema is for when I'm coming in, and V'hoyo im Shemoya is what we should focus on when we go out into the world. The dangerous world out there. A lot of rubber bands out there in the world, right?
Sure,
it's a private joke.
I'm sure it's something like
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Shemim, Kishtim, Mezizim, Megaitaros.
Yeah.
That Abishah should guard you when you go out.
Right, that's Pashit. Of course, when you go, right. That's the same. It's not just for the ins and outs.
Many evil influences in the world.
Hashem Yishmar, and many evil influences in the house also. Hashem. Right?
That's many. You have from room to room.
Many evil. Many. Many evil influences in the house itself, right? Right? Isn't this the great danger? It's Hashem Yishmar Tzeisi.
You're against the Shita.
Against it. This is Zekei Livyan Vehu. Zekei Livyan Vehu. What do you mean I'm against it?
When you have a room for a television, you should have a
mezuzah.
What?
Television, you should have a mezuzah.
You should, that's right, you should.
Television.
But if you're going to have one, you should at least have a mezuzah on it, right? On the remote. All right, let's not get sidetracked. Okay, let's go weiter. Vayomer Hashem Yishmar say si uvayi. Weiter. V'chein kishnichnas lebayis, when you enter the home, v'yech k'sas. So it says over here in the Rosh Hashanah, so far he does not yet make any mention of kissing the mezuzah. The only thing he says, you should put your hand on the mezuzah. You connect. It's like you recharge your batteries. No kissing yet. The Yesh Zeksas Mekhobi Gumarbi Periklifnei Edeyen Bevayis the Unkelis. I am showing that that's where we left last week, is that when Unkelis, he was a general in the army of the Roman army, and his uncle was, I don't remember, uncle was Titus, was Zaradan, I don't know, one of the big generals, was Caesar, and he defected. And they were very upset, so they sent an entourage, they sent a whole team to go and bring him back. And he said, okay, I'm coming back. But before we go back, as he walked out of the home, he went and he put his hand in the mezuzah. And all of these soldiers, they said, what are you doing, Unkelus? What are you putting in on the soul on the mezuzah? So he explained to them what the mezuzah is all about. They were so impressed. They were so enlightened with what he said. They decided, you know what? Let's also stay here and learn Torah and become Jews. Obviously, the sincerity, if I would try that, it wouldn't work, I guarantee you. But obviously the sincerity in the way he said it had such a powerful impact, it penetrated their hearts, and this group of soldiers, these goyim, they became Jews. And then they sent another group, and the same thing happened until they stopped sending. They let Unkelus remain where he was. When you leave the city, okay, we don't have mezuzahs today on city walls. In Yerushalayim, I'm sure you must have on the gates.
The
I'm sure.
Sure.
With Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael?
Sure.
On the old city. You also see, okay? When you go out, the yoyman, you should say, b'shimcha, tell atale. I think that means, ki tell the gematria, shame kuzov. It's this, that's when you write on the back of the mezuzah. Okay, we'll come, we'll discuss that another time. Those are the letters
of Kuzov.
After Yudke Vavke. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem. Right? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem. The letters after Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, after the Yud comes a Chaf. Yud K. After the letter Hey comes the letter Vav. Vav. After the letter Vav comes the letter Zayin. And the last Hey is the letter Vav. So Kuzov are the letters which follow Yud K Vav K. The next words that it says, the letters that follow Elokeinu. Okay, that's another, we'll talk about it another time. Right now, there's a pasuk, tel ataleh. I don't know what this means. Tel means to be swept away. Tel means like vitat ete, vitatate hashmeit. Tal ataleh. I don't know what this means. It's a mystical concept. Maybe it's a pasuk. I don't even know what it is, but it's bigmatria shem kuzov zayin vav. Hanichtav achori hamezuzah shem oisio shel achas shem havaya v'yeish mishakos. If according to this, when a person leaves a city, they have two different things. When you leave your home, you're supposed to say Hashem yishmor tseisi uva'i, and when you leave the city, you're supposed to say tel atale. I don't know more than that. V'yeish mishakosav shiyinich etzba'o hashlishi. Some say they don't put your hand, put the middle finger. Okay, that's not a good idea today. Today it's obviously not a very good idea. But that's what you're supposed to do.
Erase it.
Nothing changed, right? The halacha does not change. You know, in some countries, if you put your thumb up, it's the equivalent of putting up your middle finger.
That's right.
Okay, so you gotta know the proper etiquette of the country where you visit. China, you gotta be very careful. A lot of people today go to China on business. And before you go, you have to read up proper
Chinese
etiquette, because things that you do in America are very insulting in China. And there are certain things that if you don't do, which you would never imagine, it's very, very, very fascinating. Fascinating to read up on this.
In Europe, the middle finger is this. Because you put it this.
Okay, every country has its customs. Klal Yisrael, it's obvious the middle finger is a good thing, okay? So obviously, you want to go low, you learn halacha. Obviously, the middle finger in Klal Yisrael is a very holy thing. You open the middle finger, you're connecting to the mezuzah. It's a good thing. And among Jews, the middle finger. Al shem shaki. You put the middle finger on the mezuzah. It says shakai on the mezuzah. Hashem should protect you with this name, the name of Shakai, and the Nashek Etzpo'oi Zeh, and you should kiss this finger. So here he does cite a source for kissing your middle finger, not the index finger, not the thumb, to kiss the middle. You put the middle finger on the Shem Shakai, and you kiss the middle finger. Interesting, the putting the letter Shin, most mezuzos have the letter Shin. I once read up on this, is that there's no makar for a shin. It's either shakai or it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's the whole name, shin dalad yud. Or if you're not going to have the whole shakai, if you're not going to see the glass mezuzos, when you can see the shame shin, this whole name. If you're not going to see that, just having regular mezuzos, having a letter shin, there's no real inyan of having a shin on the outside of the mezuzos. I guess it's a minute, whatever. It just goes to show, but it's
the
not.
In
no, so yeah, not all the time. So many times it's ideal. No, but they wrap it in saran wrap. They wrap it in whatever. They wrap it in plastic. It's ideal. The ideal type of mezuzah, if I'm not mistaken, there. I don't remember. I didn't prepare that much. Is to have a clear case, and have the mezuzah where you can see the Shem Hashem, the Shin Dalad Yud, and it should, when you put the mezuzah, you should be careful to put it in a way where you can see the Shin Dalad Yud, which is written on the outside of the mezuzah on the outside. That seemingly is the ideal type of mezuzah case. You can't always do this, because if you're living in a place where there are goyim and they're not dressed right, or people speak vulgar language in the vicinity, it's a bezoyin for the Shem Hashem, the Shin Dalid Yud, to be exposed to a lack of tznius and to language that's not proper. So if you're in a workplace, an environment where there's a workplace, adrabba, you should not have a clear mezuzah. The mezuzah should be should be a standard case where the mezuzah is protected from the outside. It should not be designed to Hashem's name. Yeah?
I don't hate to be a dissident. Yeah. It's nishta toy oishkahal. You go to the bottom of the drasha.
Yeah, we talk lashon. Yeah.
And check here on the way in. The mezuzah tzigah there.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
It's covered.
Yeah.
It's not
because they don't want people to rub it off with their fingers.
Well, okay, a lot of shuls, okay, they don't know.
Chabad is marking the ass when broken or Chabad.
They don't even have a case. They
right,
put the mezuzah, they take the mezuzah, they wrap it in plastic, and they put two nails. They put the mezuzah, mamish, the mezuzah without any case at all on the post. That's not a very good idea, obviously, because it's going to get ruined. It's going to get ruined very quickly. Okay, but ideally, if you can, it's to have a clear case where you can see Hashem's name. That really is what Chazal seemingly had in mind. You can't do that for many reasons in many locations because people are not dressed near, they speak nivul peh. It's a public place, people walk in and out. So then that's what we do. Most of our mezuzos are not clear. They are covered.
No baseball bats and balls on the mezuzah covered.
No, why not? In a kiddie's room.
In a child's room. Okay.
No, imagine child.
Put it low down. That's the classic child.
Yeah. Come to it.
What?
About where you put it.
Okay, we're going to get a little. Okay, he's just in the classic child. Where do you put it in a kindergarten? Where do you put the mezuzah in the kindergarten? Yeah. You put it low down or do you put it high up? Mm-hmm. You put it low down, you're low yotze, by the way. It's not a kosher mezuzah, but for chinuch, to teach the children that they should kiss the mezuzah. So Yaakov Kamenetsky and the other gedolim say, Adrabba, pick the child up. You pick the child up, don't go and bring the mezuzah down. That's a bezayin. You pick the child up to kiss the mezuzah. What? Right, I thought it was interesting. In the young Israel, we had the same thing. It was the custom. I remember this many years ago. You take me back like 100 years ago. It was the custom when they had taken the Sefer Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh. They would give little children the kibud of. It was a big thing to put the keser. You give one child the yad, one child the breastplate, the chush, one the keser. You give little children, 5-year-old children. They would go and they would put. So these 5-year-old kids, they can't reach the Sefer Torah. So what happened? So it used to be that the person who took out the Sefer Torah, he would basically bend the Sefer Torah all the way down to the child, allow the child to put on the chosh and put on the keser. So my father got very, very upset. So the terrible bizarre, you don't take the Sefer Torah down to the child. The parents should lift the children up. The children holding the keser, pick the child up and let the child put the keser on the Sefer Torah. Right, same thing. You don't bend the Sefer Torah to the children. You take the children, raise them up to the Sefer Torah. You don't put the mezuzah down on the bottom. You take the child and you raise them up to the place where the mezuzah is supposed to be.
That's how to raise a child.
Oh, ooh, what a nice line, a pun. Okay, next. So you do see here that of kissing the mezuzah, the proper way to kiss the mezuzah is to kiss your middle finger. You put your middle finger first. You put your middle finger first, and you touch it. And you pray, and while you put the mezuzah, you mechave, and Hashem should protect me, and then you remove it, and then you kiss your middle finger. And it says the middle, that's what it says, I'm reading Aruch HaShulchan. It doesn't say, it says, V'yesh mishukash shimich etzba'o hashlishi al shem shakai, v'yispala l'Hashem sheyishmireyu b'shem zeh, with this name, v'yinashik etzba'o zeh, you kiss the middle finger. That's the proper way to do it, and as we mentioned last week, today it might not be such a good idea because of all of the bacteria and disease that lurks out there in the world. It might not be such a good idea to go Kiddush Hashem for kissing a mezuzah. You don't want to end up home and sick for 2 weeks and then go to doctors and antibiotics because you kissed the mezuzah. And in fact, I told you, the Gerer Rebbe a couple of years ago when there was some virus going on, Eretz Yisrael, he made a very public statement that no one should kiss the mezuzah. Don't put yourself in sakana to kiss the mezuzah. How much more so today? We live in a very dangerous world. Very, very so. It might not be necessarily the best idea to kiss the mezuzah. Okay, so especially if there really is a makor, because many even question, many this idea, many, he quotes the Aruch HaShulchan, but many actually question if there really even exists such a thing, such a real minik hadmon to kiss the mezuzah. The minik is maybe just to touch it, to put your hand on it, but not necessarily to kiss it. Next. I say the im kol goydel hamitzvah b'kamakam imeyidem aseges liknais tefillin umezuzah aminim yushalmi the megillah and mesach megillah the yiknet tefillin. If a person has limited resources, which mitzvah he should acquire? Tefillin versus mezuzah. Tefillin come first. Why? Very simple. Shehi chayvas haguf odif. Any mitzvah that you do to your body, this is a yesoy. This is a very basic principle. any mitzvah that you do to your body comes before a mitzvah that you do that you don't do with your body. So let's say wearing tefillin, wearing a talis, bris milah, or taking dalav minim. You take dalav minim biyodayim. Things like that have precedence over mitzvahs that you do that you don't do to your guf, that you don't do with your guf. You give money. You go, let's say, chuvah semaisres, or tzedakah, I don't even know. Other mitzvahs that are not done biguf have less kedima than a mitzvah that you do biguf. So likewise, when it comes to tefillin, which you wear the tefillin on your body, has kedima over mezuzah, where it's only on the Pesach Habayis.
What about a simple mitzvah like buying clothes to look proper? Just regular clothes. That's also the
mitzvah.
That's not a mitzvah. That's derech eretz. That's the derech eretz. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of a chil Hashem. It's a mitzvah of nishmartem lenafsha seichem. You watch your guf, but it's not specific. There are mitzvahs that are very specific. Then there's a general mitzvah that a person should be a mensch. He should dress well. He should not be chil Hashem. He should take care of his health. Those are our general mitzvahs. A mitzvah that's very specific. That's more kedima.
That's an
emporium. The tefillin is on. It's whether you're in your home, whether you're in the derech. Aval mezuzah kishub b'derech pot. When you're on the road, there's no mezuzah. There's no chiv to put a mezuzah in your car. There's no chiv to put a mezuzah on an airplane or on a ship or on a helicopter. There's no such thing. Even though my Rebbe of Kahana, he held him chiv to put a mezuzah on an airplane. He told me he held a shita. He held. That's what he never saw that. An El Al, they don't have mezuzahs. You ever seen an El Al? Never. Why not?
Sukkah.
What? A sukkah, dearest Arai.
Yeah, you see the stewardess.
A sukkah.
Oh,
a sukkah by nature, the dearest Arai.
That's because you hold that way.
If you hold it around the Yamda, it has to be, maybe you'll come, maybe you're right, yeah. We don't pass like that, maybe you're right, maybe. But a sukkah, there's no mezuzah. Dearest Arai.
Dearest Arai.
If you don't have a bias, you're potter. A person doesn't have a bias. A person that is homeless, you'll be potter. So he is a chiddush, and since we don't wear the entire day, we only wear it during davening. If a person cannot afford to buy tefillin and mezuzah, better he should buy a mezuzah and put it, it'll be 24/7 in the kind of mitzvah. And as far as tefillin, he'll borrow, every day he'll borrow tefillin, because anyway, he does not wear tefillin the whole day, today, we only wear for a few moments, therefore those would be preferred. Next, the ain bezin kofin al mitzvahs mezuzah mibnei shehi mitzvah shemat nitzchor betzida, new yisayt. Any mitzvah, when the Torah gives you reward in the Torah itself, the bezin does not intervene. So since the Torah says, leman yarichu yomecha, and that's in fact why Noshim are chayvin mezuzah as well, because Noshim also need long life. So since the Torah tells you that the reward, any mitzvah, the Torah tells you the reward, there's no bezin will not get involved. It's a beferish apostik. If you do not want to do the apostik, we cannot help you. If you know that you do not have a kosher mezuzah, you may not live in one moment. You must immediately go to the sefer to purchase the mezuzah. The imhu a Shabbos v'yamim sheyevshal lekoyva im yesh lecheder acher lo yesh becheder zeh. Have another room. You should go to the room where there's a kosher mezuzah. If ein lo muter, if not, then you have no choice. It's muter v'chein kesh bechol kesh ein la sefer bekan. If the sefer is not present, v'yevshal lahasiga miyad. If you cannot get a mezuzah immediately, you can live in your house, even though you're living in sin. I'm living in a home without a mezuzah. I'm living in sin. It's okay. You can live in sin as long as you put into motion the process of getting the mezuzah as soon as possible.
Isn't that
30 days?
What? I'm
sorry? 30 days.
30 days.
So only when you rent. If you purchase the home, you have to put up right away. We're going to come to that later on. If you're renting, if you're in a rental, I don't own the apartment, I rent an apartment in a building, so then I have 30 days to put up the mezuzah. But if I purchase the apartment, it's mine, I own the apartment, then you mechuyev immediately. V'yesh, now you're going to have to help me over here, be very creative in knowing what these words are. V'yesh, ein ham mezuzah besuch tik, also l'nich yod yolecha, v'liga biyado, b'li hefzik kemo b'tora. If the mezuzah is not in a case, it's not wrapped up in plastic and saran wrap, you may not touch it. Just like you may not touch the parchment of a Sefer Torah Arum naked, then anyone who touches the Sefer Torah Arum will be buried Arum. Likewise, a person should not touch the bare parchment of a mezuzah. So somehow you affix a mezuzah onto the doorpost. How would you do that? Well, what they did was they made cavities. They would etch out in stone. They would etch out a little cavity in the wall, and they would stick the mezuzah in that cavity. So the mezuzah, there was nothing. They didn't have plastic in the ancient times. There was no plastic. There was no wooden case. And the cases is a new thing, by the way. As far as I know, this thing that we have today, everyone who doesn't have a case, it's a business. In fact, it's a multi-million dollar business to have a nice case. I mean, what Judaica store would be in business without a section on mezuzahs, right? So where does this come from? It's a modern thing. Maybe Google it. Check it out. This is a modern innovation that we have mezuzah cases. In ancient times, the derech was very simple. You have a doorpost, whether it's wood, whether it's stone. You take a little chisel and you etch out some of the stone or some of the wood, and you stick the mezuzah inside. So he's telling you that that's what you did. Then you're not allowed to touch it. Some say, Yeshayim, that the mezuzah is like a Sefer Torah, and just like no one today dare touch a Sefer Torah Arum, so too you're not allowed to touch the mezuzah, even the outside part, because it says Hashem's name on it. So because you write Hashem's name on the outside, that gives the mezuzah kedusha, you can't touch it, so there's no kissing the mezuzah. It's only when today we have, he already talked in his time, when today we already have all these different techniques, where you put the mezuzah in a case of some sort, then you can kiss the mezuzah and you can do these things in the mezuzah. Now what about Unkelis, the Mice Unkelis? So that was as ancient as it gets, and there he did put his hand on it. So did he have a case? Or did he touch it? He didn't hold this halacha that you're allowed to hold. That holding a mezuzah is like a megillah. And just like you're allowed to touch a megillah, so too you can touch a mezuzah. Okay, he quotes over here these different opinions. Now we go to the next. Simon Reish Peivav. Ezer batim ush'olim shachim b'mezuzah. Uvoiz of some kamach in halachas. What exactly, when are you chayav in a mezuzah? I'll just tell you, the rule of thumb is, the general consensus of many poskim is, it does not hurt to have a mezuzah on a place that does not really chayav in a mezuzah. For example, an elevator. Okay, an elevator. There's really no chayav to have a mezuzah on an elevator. But there's no harm done. All the gedolim say it's adarab, it's a good thing. Go forward. You have a mezuzah. Right. So like a lot, it's a very big expense. Okay, person, how you know you have a shul, you have a building, you have a yeshiva. Well, you're going, go put on 50 mezuzahs, who's going to pay for this? You're going to take tuition money to go pay, it's ridiculous. It's not, you don't even need a mezuzah to begin with. You don't need a mezuzah in the whole yeshiva to begin with. And you want to go also to Mahayim to put a mezuzah on the elevators? That's already really going a little bit too far. But, on the other hand, if a person has extra mezuzahs lying around in the kosher, you can do it. Is an elevator really chayav in mezuzah? It's a very tough question. L'chor not. But being that there might be a tzad that it is chayav in a mezuzah, it does not hurt to have a mezuzah. Okay. So it's the same thing when it comes to storage locations. Garages. You're not mechuyev to have a mezuzah, but if you want to put a mezuzah, you can do it. You see, there are things halacha that if you're not mechuyev to do, there's a certain stigma, don't do it. Classic example is techelas. The vast majority of Klal Yisrael does not wear the murex. They don't wear the tchelas, and they're even misnagate. Okay, you ever saw chassidim wear tchelas?
No,
they don't wear tchelas. In Satmar, do they have mezuzahs on the elevators? I'm sure they do.
I don't think
you
do.
You don't. Okay, it's expense. But do they have mezuzahs on the building? On the building? Okay, do they have mezuzahs on the building? On the building, with your front door?
Yeah.
Why? You're not mechuyev. You don't have a mezuzah on a yeshiva. No one lives there. You don't have a mezuzah there. What? Shul also, you don't have a mezuzah. But tcheles? In halacha, there is generally a yisoid. If you're not a mechuyev to do it, it hurts. It hurts. If you're not a mechuyev to do a mitzvah and you start doing the lechumra, it's no good. It's not a good thing. Mezuzah appears to be the exception. Places where it's very weak mechkar that you should be chayiv in mezuzah. Paiskim, I heard from Rav Yaakov Kamenetz, with elevators, very gedolim.
And you have arches in the house, like by the windows.
No, those some of them you mechuyiv, make your idea. Those of them you really are mechuyiv. But there are many, the classic examples are, let's say, elevators, stairwells, and storage locations. Many of these areas, you're not, big closets, garages, you're not really mechuyev to have a mezuzah, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Yet, going so far to put a mezuzah on an airplane that you've never seen. I'm sorry, I've never seen that. I don't travel, so I don't really know. Who knows? Maybe people have mezuzahs on their airplanes. Mezuzah. Wealthy people.
It's
I don't
not
know.
Really a mashkev.
What?
There isn't
Why is there a mashkev? Inside. Let's go. First of all. So you don't need a mashkev. You can put it on the inside. You can put and learn about that. When you can't put the obviously you can't put the mezuzah on the outside of the airplane. It's not going to work. Right? It's not going to work. So you can put it on the inside.
You chisel it out.
Okay, maybe you could, that's right. You can chisel it out, you put it on the inside. But you can put it on the inside. When you can't put a mezuzah on the outside, you can put the mezuzah on the inside. You can put a mezuzah on the inside of the airplane on the door. The cockpit door, you can put a mezuzah. Why? You don't want shmir in the cockpit? You certainly do, after 9/11. So why don't we do it? You're not mechuyev. It's not called the dira. Okay, we'll have to see more about this as we go. Let's see over here. Let's go. Now we go halach aleph. Elu ma'amukai moshachem mezuzah. The following on the list of places you have in the mezuzah. Ah, okay, but even they're leased. They're owned. Most airlines own their airplanes. No, the major airlines?
The industry of leasing planes.
Yeah?
They lease it, sure.
Yeah, but it says when you see in the paper, they say they bought.
Yeah.
That's the word they say. But
are you sure?
The same question might be at the house. If the house is mortgaged, whose house is it?
You know how much a 747 cost? $150 million.
That's cheap.
Probably by now more. Here are the following places to have in the mezuzah: Sha'ari Batim, homes, Vachatzeros, courtyards leading into homes. The Sha'ari Medina is cities. A city that's one of the Ikur Makoimos Yechayv in the mezuzah in Torah. A city gate. A city gate. Kimo Eretz Hagar. Shemukafas, that's the name of, what's Hagar? It's the name of a country, it's the name of a city. Shemukafas Horim V'Orim V'Ein Yotzim Mimena El Derech Sharm. It's the whole country is surrounded by mountains, and the only way to get out of this country is to go through a gate. They have a gate in one of the mountains, an exit way. So there's a gate. That gate is Chayav in the Mezuzah Menat Torah. Next. V'Shari Ayaros, gates of cities. Shkemo B'Zman HaKadamon Shahoy Yislishol L'Rechoyvos M'Yucholos V'Hoyu L'Harechoyvos Sharim. There were big open areas, and these open areas were surrounded by walls which had gates. We do not own our own cities. There's another condition that these cities have to be designated for Jews. The base Lishol Levada, even of many people. The bayis hamishutofos chayim mezuzah, a home that is shared by partners that are both Jews or chayim mezuzah. Aval, this is a very important halacha when it comes to making a bracha. If you have a bayis real estate that is shared by a non-Jew, aval bayis kolamar cheder room shedorim boy Yisrael ve'akum biyachad. It's shared jointly by a Jew and a non-Jew. Potter mi mezuzah is exempt from a mezuzah l'fi masha posach lein ramah b'sif aleph kamo sheyispar. In condition, it must be owned 100% by a Jew. If this location is shared between a Jew and a non-Jew, then you do not make a bracha when you put up the mezuzah, because it's not my space. I may have part ownership in this space, but it's not 100%. You can put up a mezuzah, but you cannot make a bracha. Base. V'zelosh n'rabin harmob davka k'shabayis hashutafim Yisraelim, the Jews, aval bayis shel Yisrael v'akum peturim mezuzah v'chein chatzeros shel ayaros shemiktsas akum donim sham, where non-Jews live there, peturim mimezuzah ad kan l'shana. Utimihani, the Aruch HaShulchan says, I am in shock. I question this. Shechriya kein l'halacha toha emes. It's true. Shechriya pasach ha-Mordechai b'soy perek l'fnei edein. It's enechanami true that it's the pasach of the Mordechai, one of the Rishonim, that a bayis that is partially owned by a non-Jew is part to Avol al-Rashba, but he's a das yochid. What about the Rashba? Bechulin kasa meforish techai v'mezuzah. A bayis that's owned b'shutvis is chai v'mezuzah. V'chein pasach ha-Mordechai b'soy perek l'fnei edein. V'chein pasach ha-Mordechai b'soy perek l'fnei edein. V'chein pasach ha-Mahashal b'yam shel shlemo. Chulin perek reishis hages. The Daike law, the Gomar Hashas Sham, the Dais It says Lamali. Why did it say Beischa means your bodies? Laman Yibimecha means the fact that it says your days. I don't know the drasha. There's some drasha which somehow implies Lashon Rabim means even if it's shared by partners, we have a stira. Because on the other hand, it says Beischa, which implies your home exclusively Jew, not a non-Jew. And this that it says, the reason why it says Beischa, the one makes it another drasha, Beischa, that the proper location for the mezuzah is on the right side. Why don't we say that the pasuk Beischa is coming to mind of Shutz of Goy? Obviously, hold that the Gemara is a mash, the Rashi makes a diuk that a bias that is owned by Shutz indeed is chayiv in a mezuzah. The whole divrei Mordechai doch sham doch hayam shel Shlomo b'tuv tam ayin sham, and the shita of the Mordechai has been pushed away by the Yam Shel Shlomo, and therefore I do not understand why the Ramah concludes like the Mordechai when the Mordechai has been slugged up, and it's much more reasonable that we should follow the opinion of the Rashba, who is of the opinion that a bias that is owned b'shutfis between a Jew and a Goy is chayv minat ha'yu the mezuzah. Therefore, Erech HaShulchan now is coming to be chilek on the Ramah. Unless they do not allow you to put the mezuzah there. The Aruch HaShulchan, incredible what he's doing over here, he's taking on the Ramah. Could you imagine? The Ramah lived before the Aruch HaShulchan by how many years? By 200 years? 150, 180 years, whatever it was? So he's coming to be choylig on the Ramah, and he's telling you that you must put up a mezuzah on a bayis in which a non-Jew has a part ownership in.
But maybe Ramah was living in Poland, and they're off silent.
The tzela.
On the building, so it shouldn't be a dispute.
No, but he's saying a halachis. He doesn't... The sakon is another issue, but he seems to be telling you, what is the halach? It's a very big problem. There are cities, there are even private buildings in America where they do not allow you to put up a mezuzah. It's a very, very big problem. You go and you lease an apartment in certain cities.
Co-ops. Been troubled.
And they do not allow a mezuzah. They don't either. It's because of anti-Semitism, or they just don't like people knocking in nails, destroying the structure, putting on things as an excuse. So then you have to do it inside. Then you just don't do it on the outside. You put the mezuzah on the inside. That they can't prevent you from doing. But they don't allow you. We walk in the hallway. If they see there's a mezuzah in the hallway on your door, they will give you a very hard time. And so that's a separate issue. Okay, that's a separate issue. But over here he's talking about halacha. He's coming to cholik on the Ramah, and he holds that if you have a building that is owned by a non-Jew and a Jew, you're chayiv in a mezuzah unless in a situation where they're giving you a hard time and they're not allowing you because of anti-Semitism, whatever the reason, then maybe you can fall back on the sheet of the Ramah and you're part of a mezuzah in this particular case. Avol be'einenu re'inu sha'kol. You have to tell me what these words are. Re'inu, we see. Sha'kol, I don't know what that word is. Manichim l'kvayim mezuzah in makpidim. We see that now a day and age, Rubadruba, the goyim do not give us a hard time. They allow us to put a mezuzah on our doors. And in fact, in many situations, the goyim also want mezuzahs. Yeah. They come to Jews and they say,
"Until the collectors come."
What?
Yeah, right.
Until the collectors come.
Until the collectors. Oh, very good.
That's right. That's
very good. That's right. That's the sign to know to come to collect. So they it's a good luck charm. They view it as a good luck charm, and why not? Why not? They put a mezuzah on their door. It's a very big problem to give a guy a mezuzah, especially inside his house, maybe outside his house. Even that's not so simple, because what is he doing in his house? He's doing kol davar sheba asa. Okay, it's one thing he's doing that kosher, but he's just doing averis.
A lot of Jews are too.
That's right.
Actual mezuzahs, but things that look like mezuzahs
with
the writing on it in is being sold by Christians.
Okay.
Well, a lot of the Jews
they regard it as I don't know, a good luck charm.
Good luck charm, right? Exactly. So they mamish the toyveya, and when you tell them, it costs $100, they don't believe you. What, $100? Crazy?
No, $100? Cheaper than that.
the Gulag charms are a lot cheaper. Yeah. But a real mezuzah, a quality mezuzah today costs $60-$70 at least. And a really good one can cost $150. I mean, it's really, it's expensive. It's not a cheap thing, a mezuzah.
But if you're Mechala Shabbos and you trafe and you're just not, whether you should put a mezuzah on?
So that's the question. Lubavitch, there are different opinions on this. Lubavitch, their sheet is, they have a different approach. Give everyone a mezuzah. Give goyim a mezuzah, even though no matter what they're doing, it doesn't matter. Jews are, well, Jew anyway is mukhiv, so that doesn't make a difference. A Jew is mukhiv, you don't look at what the averis that he does. A Jew has a mitzvah to put a mezuzah in the raisa. He does averis? No. Hayaluchot v'hayaluchot. It does not take away from the fact that it's mukhiv in the mitzvah mezuzah no matter what. So a Jew, you have to give a Jew a mezuzah. You have a neighbor, non-religious Jew. I have a neighbor, he's non-religious Jew. I should really give him some mezuzahs, at least the front door. Give him a mezuzah. Non-religious, because he's mechuyev in a mezuzah. Oh, he does averis? That's not my business. But a guy that's not mechuyev in mitzvahs, he has no chiv to have a mezuzah. So now you have to take into consideration, he has no chiv, and the mezuzah davar shebekedusha, and they are terrible, and it's a bezoyin for Hashem's name, that Hashem's name should be exposed in such a location. So then, don't be so eager to give a non-Jew a mezuzah. Lubavitch is not like, if my mistake is Lubavitch is very big into giving politicians, giving goyim mezuzahs. I don't know why, but they do that. They like to go to goyim, big goyim, and they give them gifts, and they give them the White House, they give them a president, they put, I think probably on the Oval Office, there's the mezuzah, a Chabad mezuzah, for sure.
Yep. Yeah.
So they're into, but it's who occupies the Oval Office? Not a Jew and non-Jew. So what are you giving a mezuzah on the Oval Office? It's not a mezuzah.
What a mayor is. Do they have a mezuzah?
Gracie Mansion. Some of they do. New York is.
Downtown Manhattan.
For sure.
Maybe since the days of Ed Koch, they do.
I'm sure Lubavitch got to Gracie Mansion.
Maybe we consider that we own the White House.
If I was a secret service, I wouldn't let a mezuzah. I'm just, I'm talking from a security perspective. Yeah, if I was a secret service and Lubavitch comes, they give the president a mezuzah, you want to put a mezuzah, I would say, no way, Jose. You want to put a mezuzah on the Oval Office? I don't know what's in there. I'll scan it. I'll go and I'll scan it the whole day with all of my technology. Who knows? Maybe you have technology in there that I don't know about. I would be from a security point of view, I would not take any risks.
No, actually they have to check the mezuzah. Maybe there's a toss.
What?
Maybe there's a mistake.
The leaks. Really, seriously. If I was working for the Secret Service and they would approach the president, they would give him a mezuzah, and the president would say, they gave me a mezuzah, can you put it on the door? I would say, no, absolutely not. It's a security risk. You're right, I'll put it through the scanner. I'll put it through all my scanners.
Yeah, but that's true of everything. The
what?
The person gets a gift and he has a picture. He says, I want to hang it up.
Okay, maybe you're right. Obviously, I'm wrong. Obviously, because they do it. Because there are mezuzahs in the White House, obviously. So obviously, there are. You know that they scan every few hours. I read this recently. The Secret Service, they have all their devices, their electronical devices. They do a complete scan of the White House every few hours. I think, what? For bucks. Twice,
well, they certainly are doing it
at least
now.
Twice a day. Right now they're doing renovations. So that's the perfect time. Like, you're putting in new air conditioning units. You don't think those new air conditioning units are full of listening devices? Full of listening devices? Well, so what are they going to do? They're going to take apart the air conditioner to little screws to analyze it? They can't do that. That's not possible.
They didn't buy them from China.
Yeah, exactly.
They probably
North Korea. Might show you. Years ago, the president called Clinton, I think.
Yeah.
He came to our junior high school.
Yeah, which junior high school? In Satma.
No, junior high. Secret Service went through all the lockers, remember, the locker, they were opening every door.
Single locker.
The doors too?
Very, sure.
Yeah.
But even in Israel, I parked my car by my front door. A guy from the Knesset was a minister in the Knesset. I came back to my car in the parking lot.
It's gone.
I parked my car. I went to Yerushalayim. I went into the old city, and I come back. There's a sign. This car was checked for bombs.
Checked for bombs?
Yeah.
They opened it up.
They opened it up. Nobody identified the car. my car.
I
showed it in Israel.
At least they didn't take it away.
No, a big sign. I still have the note that they left.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right.
With worse, if it said we found the bomb.
Okay, so this okay. is... All right, it's already late, so we're going to stop over here with Ice Gimel. We'll pick this up tomorrow.
Ice Gimel.
We'll take a short break, and then we're going to talk about Tu B'Av. Today is Tu B'Av. Is it Tachlin today? What?
The Rebbe knows that part about Yod Al Keskar.
Yod Al Keskar.
I asked.
Which Rav?
Weinfeld.
What? What does he know?
I didn't say Shem.